Hope you're having a good Sabbath. Happy Sabbath is a greeting we often say. Let's see if I can get everything on the right page and working. When I ask who's the boss, that's the question we were talking about 2 weeks ago. It brings to mind some things that that I want to think about today, and I wonder when I ask that, what's the answer? Who is the boss? God is. Okay? So if he's the boss, he's the one that makes the decisions. Is that correct? Okay. How does he convey the decisions to us? Is it just how I feel? Is it just what I want? How does God relate, if he's the boss, he's directing the life, how does he convey that to me? Well, I was sharing with the young people today, I drew a circle, and around that circle, I wrote the Word of God. You know, if we want to hit a target, you have a circle and then another circle and another circle. And the center is what God's perfect direction in my life. And so within that circle, anything within the Word of God, that's one way of knowing, isn't it? If it passes or fulfills or comes within the context of all the teachings of right and wrong and the precepts and principles that God gives, then I know that I'm closer to the target. But God doesn't speak to every question I have, does he? Well, maybe he does, but we just don't know enough of the Word to understand how he's speaking to it. But within the context of the Word of God, God gives us other ways to direct us, other means to direct us. When they had a king in Israel, how were they supposed to respond to the king in Israel? Respect or fight? How were they supposed to respond to the king in Israel? Obedience. So if the king said, we're going to fight against this nation, what did they do? They fought against that nation. With a exception. And what's the exception? Whenever the king was asking them to violate God's word. Whenever the disciples, Peter and John, were before the Sanhedrin, they said, who shall we obey, men or God? Which is it we obey? Another area of direction that God gives us is his church. Whenever you read, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but whenever God puts us into a church, then he has certain directions that he uses within that body. Very biblical. I'm not talking outside the Bible, and I'm going to share all that with you. Whenever we are a child of a parent, how does God identify his will? Obedience. Children, obey your parents. Children, honor your parents. And so if we're looking for God's will within our lives, he has placed in our lives certain authority structures that we need to pay attention to. Again, it's always God that has the final word, but He gives us within that context certain other specific and direction. Whenever we place ourselves in a certain authority by, for example, by being an employee or something like that, or by living in a certain state, God still says that there is an authority structure. Now, what is it when we decide we want to do it our way? Or we don't particularly like, it isn't against God's word, but we don't particularly like the authority structure that we're under. What is that called? Rebellion. Now, you might say, well, my boss, he don't have an authority structure. Yes, he does, whoever he is. And you might say, well, the president, he don't have an authority. Yes, he does. And he's getting a little pushback on what he's doing from the authority structure. We all have an authority structure, and of course the biggest thing around that, the biggest thing is God. But when we violate the authority structure, it's rebellion, but it's also an evidence of something else that is very scriptural, and that is the evidence of a certain character quality that Proverbs mentions over and over again not to have. Did anyone know what that is? Pride. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Whenever I put my will ahead of what God's will, either through His word or through the authorities that He's placed in my life, I have pride. When I'm the one that's right over what God says in one way or another, that is pride. And pride is a very, very dangerous thing. God gives grace to the humble, but he that resists is prideful. And we need to learn what it means to be a servant, to have the spirit of Jesus Christ, who was a servant. Whenever he was in the Last Supper, he didn't say, well, you guys just listen to me. I'm going to tell you what to do. He knelt down before them and washed their feet. And I hope we learn the message of that as much as the action of that. Among the Gentiles, you have a people taking authority by power. But that isn't the way it's supposed to be with God's people. He that will be the head or leader will be the servant of all. And I don't think we quite get that. Our individualism in the United States, our ego, our pride says, I'm going to do it my way no matter who likes it or who doesn't. That is not the Spirit of Christ. That is not the Spirit of Christ. Well, we're going to go, we've talked about some of these things last time, and we're going to, we talked about authority structures and who they are. All authority comes from God. He's the one that places up kings and tears them down. He's the one that gave you your parents. You don't have much choice in that. He's the one that you chose, gives the authority structure within a home. Husbands, are you the head of your home? Are you directing the spiritual direction of your home? Are you leading out spiritually, or are you waiting for the wife to take charge? And I'm not saying that we are a tyrant or a terror or a hurtful person, but husbands, you have a certain responsibility in your home to stand up for God and righteousness. If you don't lead the way, you are not following God's leadership. And that doesn't mean when my wife is right, which is 99.999999% of the time, but because when she's right, who do I listen to? I listen to her, so sometimes. No, God put your wife in your home for a purpose so that she can have another perspective. And I tell you, men, whenever you go against something that your wife is strongly and spiritually led, you need to be careful there. Because God didn't put her there just for you to tell what to do. He put her there for a spiritual benefit to you. And wives, God put your husband there for a spiritual direction for you. So we have all these authority structures. And we talked about government. Somebody said that I just preached to them last week when I talked about breaking the speed limit. I wasn't preaching to anybody particular, Gordon. And I didn't save that sermon just to when you would be here. We're friends enough, I can do that, okay? At least we were. I don't know if we are now. Children, in Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Whenever I was deciding on what to do after, actually it was after Midwest Bible College, during Midwest Bible College, I said, "What should I do?" Because the church was closing Midwest Bible College, and they had choices that before I finished my fourth year, when I could go into the ministry, they had choices, and they said, "Well, you can go out to Denver and finish up there at a seminary there, or you can go to school and get your degree, and you can go that way and do three summer sessions." And at that point, I was more receptive than I had been to what Dad and Mom wanted. And of course, I've mentioned my dad wasn't a Christian, kind of a little bit anti in many ways, anti-Seventh-Dayer, that's what he called me, Seventh-Dayer. Definitely antagonistic, and I asked, what do you think? And I meant it. Because your parents matter. God gave them to you for a purpose. The relationship changes at a certain point. At a certain point, it's kind of neat with my kids. Now I'm kind of more of a friend, and I look to them for counsel. "Stephen, what's wrong with my computer?" You know, that kind of thing, and other things. So it changes, but I don't think the honor and respect, and sometimes even the obedience, doesn't necessarily change. God still wants us to show that honor. You know, one thing that I hate is I hate when people dishonor their parents. And we kind of do it in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's saying, "Oh, Mom," or "There she goes again," or are you getting what I'm saying? There's a certain honor and respect that needs to continue, no matter what age our parents are. Ephesians 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And I don't think that means to obey the ones that are in the Lord. I think it obey them in the Lord. "For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on earth." So we have all the verses that talk about parents and marriage. It's interesting to me that in Ephesians, when it talks about marriage, it says the first part of that verse in Ephesians 5, which many will quote, and they will emphasize the way they want it to be. but not emphasize the other half of it. It says, submit yourselves one to another in reverence for Christ. You know, there are ways in which your boss, or you as a boss, or you as a parent, or you as a husband, or you as a pastor, we have to listen to each other. It's not just my way or the highway, no matter who you are. It's God's way. And we learn that mutual respect and reverence toward one another. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ the head of the church and his body, the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, this church is not here. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he said, I'm not there to make people feel good. He was a pastor. It is not my job to make you feel good or good about yourself. Hopefully, it is my job to preach the word. The church's responsibility is to be accountable and responsible to each other in such a way that we are building up the body of Christ. And that doesn't mean we always make people feel good. That doesn't mean you have to be nasty just to make people feel bad. Some people think it's their job to make everybody feel. No, it's our job to build up the relationship with Christ in every way we can. One of the things I was telling the young people today, when you are not doing your job in God's church suffers. When you are not the part that God is calling you to be, God's church suffers. The work suffers. The worship suffers. Individuals that are counting on you suffer. When you are not being the rock or the block or the arm or the leg or whatever God has called you to be, and He has called you in relationship with Christ and in a part of His work. He does not call us to be lone rangers or lone wolves. He calls us into a body. And every part is essential to that body. No part has the right to slough off. Maybe I'm paid to be the preacher, but I don't have a right to slough off, and neither do you. Am I working for the edification, the building up, the strengthening of the church? Because if you're not, you're like the runner. Where's our runner here that ran the mile in 5 point? How long did it take you to run the mile? 5 minutes. How would you like to run that mile with a 20-pound ball attached to your leg? If we are not the thing that's encouraging and strengthening the church, we're that 20-pound ball that's dragging down, that's destroying. And we can do that in our words, in our actions, in our attitude. Get to preaching, I forget where I am. I want to go to, I think you guys can read that and find how the wife is supposed to be. I hope you like my pictures. I kind of picked them out this week with a little bit of fun in me. Pray for your pastor. Oh, me. I really don't feel like it's a burden, but sometimes it gets heavy. What are we supposed to do in response to church authority or church structure? How are we supposed to respond to that? Thessalonians says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you. And that's not just the pastor. Who care for you in the Lord, who admonish you, hold them up in highest regard in love, because of their work, live in peace with each other. Hebrews gets a little more direct in we have elders and deacons that we have appointed. We have leadership in the general conference. We have leadership in the district that we've all agreed to be part of. It says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. That's to everybody. Remember your leadership who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I hope you imitate and go a little bit beyond. You know, we never should stop. The full example is Jesus, and we each give each other a picture of that. And then have confidence in your leadership and submit to their authority. And what's the definition of not submitting? It's rebellion. And that doesn't mean I'm always right as pastor. Doesn't mean that our elders and deacons are always right. But it does mean that we need to show real deference and respect and honor to those in authority. I mean, it's kind of like whenever we vote in a president and people disrespect that. And I'm talking both sides of the issue, you know, not talking one side. We appoint people to be law officers. Don't ever disrespect a law officer. Don't ever disrespect. We had a kind of a committal service yesterday, and man, I'll tell you something. I said a few words, but the honor and respect that the gentleman and lady in uniform showed to Mary Ellen just brought me almost to tears. Submit yourselves to authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Did you know that I will have to give an account for you and how you do and how I've related to you? There are a few people I don't want to give an account for. No, I'm kidding around there, but it is very serious. This do that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. 1 Timothy goes on to say, and the elders who direct the affairs of the church direct the church well. That's maybe in question. We'll have to kind of work on that. But are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while he's treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter says, and to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of the flock. Now, I want you to imagine, I know none of you, well, some of you have sheep. How many have sheep? Okay. Now, what would happen if you didn't have any fences and you were trying to get the sheep to go to a certain place, and they all scattered? Would you get anywhere? And so as be shepherds of God's flock, it really matters. Not for me. I can be replaced. But for the sake of the work, we need to be on the same page. We need to work together. Otherwise, there will be some strays that get picked up by the wolves. And those wolves are out there. and they will take you down if you aren't careful. Shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, willing as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those in those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And brethren, if there's any way that I am not an example, any way that I'm not living up to, any way that needs an encouragement or adjustment in a certain way, I hope you feel free to come to me. I hope you feel free to, let's talk about it. And I know a lot of my faults. I may not see them all, but I know a lot of them. So we want to have our direction, our leadership in the right way. And then I kind of want to get this at the end here where it says in Ephesians 5, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Church, I love you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to be there when you need me. And I hope that I can also count on you to be there when I need you, because pastors aren't indestructible. We can be an encouragement. I hope you're there for each other. I mean, take the time to get to know each other in such a way that you can minister one to another. And in doing this, we will ultimately and will honor Jesus Christ. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Turn with me in your hymn book to 262.